We're going to be talking about a subject called Dreamer. And how many in here have dreams? Raise your hand. You have dreams in your heart, things that you want to do, things you want to see come to pass. And dreams are a funny thing because for the most part, people will spend their entire lives with one dream or one ambition, one desire. And you know what? They'll never, ever, ever see that become reality. And I think how tragic it is to die with a dream and to not live life in a riskful manner. And, you know, tonight I really want to talk about not just the dreams that are in our heart, but how to accomplish those dreams, how to know if your dream is from God or if it's just from your own thinking. So tonight we're going to get into this. I'm excited about just seeing some stuff just come to pass in your life. And I guess the first thing that I could start off tonight and say is that, you know, if you want to see your dreams become a reality, you must understand that logic has nothing to do with seeing dreams come to pass. Logic has nothing to do. Everybody wants to focus on the logic. Well, that doesn't seem too logical. And, you know, it doesn't make much sense. But, you know, a lot of times dreams do not make sense. A lot of times the things that God has asked us to do, there is nothing logical in those. And many people, I think they end up overthinking their dreams and they overthink the things that God has put into their heart. And instead of getting busy working on the dream, they enter into this arena, this area of logic. And I'm not against brainstorming. I love being creative, but sometimes we can become so creative that we are creating what is only logic. And we do things that are only logical, and really nothing in this world will ever change, or nothing in our life will ever change as long as we are operating by this thing called logic. Because, you know, logic tells me and logic tells you that the thing that we want to do is not possible. And logic tells us why it will not work. And logic kind of tells us, you know, hey, that's not really what you should be focusing on. You should be focusing on A, B, and C, not D. But you know what? A lot of times I think that as long as we are dominated by logic, we're going to be dominated by fear. Because that's in essence what logic is. Now, I'm not saying that it's not logical to avoid running into traffic when cars are zooming by. That's not what we're talking about. I want you to leave here tonight and be like, I'm going to jump off a five-story building. I know it doesn't seem logical, but it's a dream that I have. I want to fly. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something completely different. But what if there was a way to supersede past your own ability and live in a place where logic was outdated? That's the place that I want to live in. I want to live in a place where logic is outdated. It's like flip phones, man. No one uses flip phones anymore. You know what I'm saying? You guys, we had this phone conversation the other day, and I don't know if you guys or any of you are like just diehard like techies and you love stuff. Anybody remember when like the first like Trio came out? Like the 620, then the 650, then they came out with the 750 and the 755, and it was like, oh yeah, this is amazing. I have a calendar on my phone. There was no Facebook, there was no Twitter. But you know what? We no one uses that stuff anymore because it's out of date. And you know what? As we venture in and move forward with the things of God, sometimes our past thinking becomes out of date. And you gotta be able to progress in your thinking. You know, if there's one thing that I know how to do, I know how to honestly just disregard fear and operate in risk. Not in the sense, now I know that a lot of people on the outside might look at what I do and might seem it's crazy because they're viewing things in a logical manner. But sometimes in order for you to do what God wants you to do, sometimes you're just going to have to do some things afraid. And you're going to have to do some things even when they do not make sense. And you know, there's a scripture that comes to mind And I love quoting the scripture to myself. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to the God who can do so many awe-inspiring things, immeasurable things, things greater than we could ever ask or imagine through the power at work within us." And I love this because God doesn't want our dreams to be shaped by logic and reasoning. And this scripture says that we have a power on the inside of us, the power of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us. And through His Spirit, we can do things that are logically impossible. That's good. Now, I don't know if any of you in here have a job or you have any kind of ambitions, but that's good news. That I don't have to be determined, my life doesn't have to be determined by somebody else's logic. In fact, if you tell me that it's logically impossible, that's going to make me even more keen to going out and doing it. And that's what I love about Scripture. There were so many times that people said, "Oh, you can't do that. You can't go here. You can't split that sea. You can't feed this many people. You can't heal that person." And they continue to defy logic and see God perform only what He could perform. But how do we do this? How do we defy logic and put a dent in the universe? Because that's what I want to do. How do we do this? Well, I think the first process, the first understanding we have to acquire is understanding the process of faith. And faith is like a muscle. If you work that muscle, it becomes stronger. If you don't work it at all, it's not strong at all, but if you let it become weak, you can strengthen it and make it grow. Now, faith is a very important thing. In fact, faith is so important that the Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please God. Because those who come to God must come to Him by faith, and they must be willing to acknowledge that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That's the B-I-B-L-E, and it's still good for you and me, so we're going to keep quoting it, and we got to understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Dreams. I have a dream. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things not yet seen. Okay, so I'm believing for something, but how is it going to come to pass? I don't even see it. Well, faith gives me the ability to see what is not there. This isn't Minecraft. This isn't like Christian Science. This is the Word of God. Okay, this isn't like, "I will see what is not there. I shall close my eyes." No, we are talking about speaking in such a fashion to where what is not there can become there through the words I speak. "Well, I don't really. That sounds like just weird New Age stuff." Okay, then try this. Tomorrow you get up in the morning. I want you to tell yourself the first thing you say to yourself when you get up in the morning is, "I'm the most worthless person in the world. I am horrible. I am the ugliest, most fattest, just fast food eaten, greasy, slimy, no good, underpaid, underwage. Just I should be working in a sweatshop factory. I am horrible. My kids, they hate me. They can't stand me. I'm just worthless. My wife, I'm sure she's cheating on me with five other people. That's just how pathetic I am." And you know, when I get to my work today, I bet you my office cubicle is going to be blown up. And I bet the vending machine's going to be out of Cheetos. And I bet they're not going to have any soda. And everything's going to turn to water. My life is horrible. Now start speaking that stuff to yourself every hour of the day. And by the end of the day, you are going to feel absolutely pathetic. Now, the opposite occurs. If I begin to speak positive, now you might be thinking, "Well, yes, this is the Word of God. I don't care who," I mean, you understand the Word of God's been hijacked. It's been hijacked. It's been hijacked from everybody. And they try to make it their own. Even the old fat guy sitting on a statue hijacked the Word of God. Buddha, you read anything that he produced, it is hijacked. Everything. And you got to understand, the Bible says, hey, God says, and He spoke, And it was. God used faith in creating the world from what was not there. He spoke it and it was there. This is what I want you to get inside your head, because dreams will always remain stagnant when faith isn't applied. And you're never going to see your dreams come to pass when you're not willing to have the faith. And Jesus taught us this same principle in the book of Mark. And this is what he said. How long has he been like this? He was talking to a father about his boy who's having seizures and just a lot of crazy stuff going on. And the father says, well, since he was a baby, and the spirit has thrown him often into the fire and sometimes into the water trying to destroy him. The father says, you know what? I've run out of options. I've tried everything. But you know what? If there's anything you can do, please have pity on us and help us. Then Jesus speaks up and says, what do you mean if there's anything? He says, all things are possible if you only believe. And the man said, I believe. Lord, help me to believe. I love it how Jesus just gets kind of mad and says, what are you talking about? Is there anything? What are you talking about? Is there something that I cannot do? I can do anything. You can do anything only if you believe. So belief is a critical part. Okay, that is very important. All things are possible if you believe. Jesus made a pretty major statement right here. He didn't say that just some things are possible or only the things that seem logical. He said all things are possible if you believe. And I believe the first thing God does to build your faith and to build my faith is to simply give us a dream. And when God wants to work in your life, he'll always give you a dream about yourself, about what he wants you to do, about how he's going to use your life to impact the world. But sadly, many people aren't listening to this dream because God doesn't give out selfish dreams. God's dreams always encompass around the fact of helping other people and seeing his kingdom progress. I mean, there are many examples of this in the Bible that God started, gave a dream to increase faith. I mean, God gave Noah the dream of building the ark. God gave Abraham the dream of being a father of a great nation. God gave Joseph the dream of being a leader that would save his people. God gave Nehemiah the dream of building the wall around Jerusalem. He gives him this dream. Now, what's funny is, when God gives you a dream, it's usually something, or I wouldn't say usually, I would say 100% of the time it doesn't make sense. In fact, if you go through all this, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Nehemiah, they thought God was out of his mind. He's crazy. And you know what? I'll be honest. There's a lot of times that I think, God, you're crazy. You need to get on some medicine. And all these people said the same thing. Noah's like, what? You want me to build a big old boat out in the middle of nowhere? Abraham said, how am I going to even be the father of a great nation? My own wife can't even produce a child. Joseph's like, how am I going to save my people, God? You can't even save me. I'm down here in a pit. I'm a slave. So you go through all this stuff, and you can see that God has put a dream in their heart so that they can begin to operate in faith. And I guess the most important question, or I would say the question that most people ask, is how do I know when a dream is from God and when it's just something that I thought up myself? How do I know? Well, as we read the Bible, God simply tells us, and we read this earlier, by his mighty power at work within us, he's able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes. In other words, if a dream comes from God, it'll be so big that you can't do it on your own, and you know you can't do it on your own. Because if you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need faith. You wouldn't need any faith. And God will also never tell you to do something that contradicts his truth. I have people that come to me, dreams, and, you know, for instance, you know, he won't give you a dream to leave your family and kids and move to Hollywood to be a movie star. God's not going to do that. okay? Because that would contradict his word. God's not going to give you a dream to grow and open a marijuana plant. Oh, I just have a great talent at growing marijuana. I just know the right way. God's not going to do that. Hey, I'm good at sex. I want to get in some videos. It's a talent. People have told me, we like the way you move, like the way you work it. And people say, no diggity. Got to bag it up. But no, it can't go against his word. And many times, people fail to accomplish their dreams because they fail to see what is right in front of them the entire time. And this is one of the most crucial things that I want to talk about tonight. And let me put this another way. What are you holding or what is in your hand, so to speak? Because usually when I give people an exercise, maybe in a counseling session, and I ask them what their overall goal is, they will write down like 30 or 40 things. And honestly, none of it has anything to do with them. And not, I mean, like, they will mention so many things that you can just see that are not part of their giftings. Now, you might say, well, aren't you operating on logical? No, I'm operating on gifts. Okay? Now, that would be for me to say that, you know, I am going to sell more worship albums than anybody ever has in the world. Okay? Now, first of all, I can't sing. Okay? Well, you could go back and say, well, you're going on logic. No, I'm not going on logic. I'm going on gifts. I know the gifts of God. I know the gifts that he's placed on the inside of me. And that's what you have to understand. A lot of people, they will take some parts of this message and be like, well, I'm going to do it, even though people don't see it's logically possible. But there are some things, let me tell you, you cannot do. Everything must be centered around your gifts. And what I'm saying is, when it comes to your gifts, operating in your gifts, there is nothing that you cannot do. You know, asking what is in your hand, what are you holding? This is the question that God asked Moses in Exodus 4. God was asking him to deliver the people out of Egypt. And Moses tried to convince the Lord right from the get-go that he wasn't the right person for the job. And honestly, the gist of Moses' response to God is recorded in Exodus, I think, chapter 3, chapter 4. And Moses says, you know, God, who am I? How in the world are people going to listen to me? Like, you know, like the Bible series, like that you saw in Moses, completely false. All right, I was looking forward to the series, and then I was just let down like almost every single other Christian thing in the world. I was let down. Christian radio station, I'm let down. Play the same songs over and over again. And I don't know. I'm gonna just anyway, my point is Moses stuttered, and we've talked about this before. Did you notice Moses in the Bible series, dude? He was the greatest speaker in the world. Hail, everybody! It's time to follow me, Moses. That's not how Moses was. Moses was so freaked out that his brother had to speak for him. And he stuttered. I mean, can you imagine leading millions of people out of Egypt and stuttering? Can you imagine stretching forth a rod and trying to part the Red Sea and stuttering? But this is exactly what Moses was. Moses was like, I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. And you know what? After Moses kind of got done telling God his pity story, God looks at him and says this, Moses, let me ask you something. What is in your hand? And at the time, Moses was holding a staff, and that is exactly what God used to get the people out of Egypt. Now, this is amazing to me. Because often your calling is screaming at you. It's staring you in the face. It is what you do naturally. It's the very thing that is in your hand, but we oftentimes neglect it. Right in front of us. Sometimes people, you know, they're waiting for a still small voice to come and tell them what their purpose is, what their calling is. They tell God, I just don't know where I fit. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what God's will is for my life. Well, let me ask you another question, or ask it in another way. What are your gifts? Like, what are you gifted in? What are you good at? That's a great place to start. What are your talents? What comes naturally to you? And sometimes these things are cultivated throughout life, but it's in those things that you find your purpose and your dreams, because that is what God has put on the inside of you. Now, I'm going to give you an example from the Christian culture. Been around it a long time. And I've heard stuff like this. John, I just feel that God is calling me to lay it down. Whether it be a Christian sports person who wants to be a pastor who wants to be a business person, a worship leader who wants to be a rock star, a pastor who practically sings their sermons because they want to be worship leaders. And the fact is, we do not actually have the right to lay down what the Father has given to us as a gift. And if you ever notice, we always want to be what we're not. And we never want to focus on what we are and improve. And we often underestimate the God-given gifts and talents that we have. James 1:17 says it this way: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. In other words, God doesn't change his mind. He's not schizophrenic. He has not made you one way and then made you a different way to use your gifts. God has not given you gifts and talents and then says, well, you know, I gave you all these gifts, but I really don't want you to use them. I just kind of wanted to test you. No, God gives you gifts so that you can dream, and God gives you these dreams so that you can change the things around you. You know, creativity is often kind of like way at the back burner in like churches. And we have like spirituality, and we separate it thinking that spirituality and creativity are two separate things. Or I would say it this way: everybody wants to focus on wisdom, but no one wants to focus on creativity. But wisdom, Proverbs says, wisdom and creativity, they can't be separated. For wisdom gives you the knowledge to know what to create. And so we need to focus and be more in tune to the creativity that God has given us, because every single person that is in this place tonight, you are creative. Because if you are not creative, then you're not made in the image of God. And I know for a fact, Jack, that every single person in this place is made in the image of God. You can give me a person that you would be like, okay, check out this person. There ain't no creativity in their bones. Everybody has a tremendous, I didn't say some people have small, some people have large. Everybody has a tremendous amount of creativity. They just never tap into their creativity. Now, the reason creativity is so amazing, the reason that you take wisdom and creativity at the same time, is because honestly, if you really hone in on your creativity, there is nothing you can't do. You create. No matter what situation you're in, you can create to make your situation better. Creativity is what takes something out of nothing. This is what involves faith and makes it something glorious and amazing. And we do this because we're made in the image of God. God is the creator of all creators. God is the greatest artist that we will ever encounter. God created the earth, the sky. He's created smells and animals and everything we see, and plants and colors and shapes and sounds. But we've neglected this. in the church. If we can just have, you know, people just need to come to church because God is there. We don't need to focus on anything creative. We just need to have the walls white. And as long as people, hey, you don't need air conditioning in a church. You just need to come out because God is there. You don't need seats in a church. You just need to come out because God is there. You don't need music. You just need to come out because God is there. And we use this as an excuse because people in the church are lazy. And we serve the most creative being, yet the most creative people in the world don't even know God. Yet the creative ability that God has put in all of us, they hone in on, but the church neglects. So we have to hone in on this creativity because this creativity is a major part in seeing our dreams come to pass. And you know, there are a number of reasons why I think we attempt to pursue what is in our hearts rather than starting on what's in our hands. Because when I talk to people about, hey, start with what's in your hands, they want to look at everything that's in their heart. Oh, that's great. That's great. That's lovely, but it's a bigger dream in the heart. And we want to keep things in the heart because once God says what's in your hand, you know what that means? You got to get to work. And a lot of times people, they keep all the dreams in their heart and they never get it to your hand because what is in your hand often involves pressure and discipline and diligence. And what is in your heart is romantic. But what is in your hand requires great work, and to see your dreams come to pass, let me tell you, you're going to have to be relentless. You are going to have to be relentless because no dream is ever accomplished without hard work. You know, hard work is kind of a lost art. Everybody's looking how they can get out of work. When was the last time you heard somebody be like, you know what? Man, I'm kind of bummed out. I'm trying to figure out how I can work better and harder. No, it's hey, man, I can't wait to get off work. Now, here's the thing. I know we all have different jobs, different vocations, but if you're truly going to pursue your dream, eventually you're going to get to the place where you love what you do. You should never spend your life not loving what you do, but understanding that even though you love what you do, there's going to be sometimes you hate what you do. And sometimes it can become an annoyance, but you have to be willing to work hard and be relentless. And I mean, a lot of people, they're not willing to work past the burn, or they're not willing to work past the hurt and discomfort. And I think your dreams, honestly, they live in your heart. But the fulfillment of that dream lives in your hands. And I like that. That I have dreams that are in my heart, but they will never be fulfilled until I get them into my hands. You got to work it. And I have a lot of dreams inside my heart. And honestly, they're God-given dreams. They motivate me to keep going. But in order for them to have functionality, they must get from my heart into my hands. I love the word functionality, all right? I'm a designer, and there's nothing worse than somebody designing something that has no functionality. No functionality. And I could stay on this topic for a long time, but I'm not going to do that. But I think, like, sometimes, you know, some people will come to me with an idea, and I want to know where the functionality is. It's like me bringing you a phone, okay? Or let's say I bring you an iPad, and I bring it to you, and you're like, man, did you make this?
Yeah, got a new 3D printer at home. Just printed it out.
Well, that's cool, man. That's awesome. You did it all yourself, and you, man, that's pretty amazing. What'd you use?
Well, I use an aluminum back. Yeah, that's Gorilla Glass on the front. It's soft glass. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I went with a little different texture on the side buttons. I thought it put a nice touch on it.
It's cool, man. What's it do?
Well, right now, it's just what you see. It doesn't do anything.
Now, here's the thing. It's a great dream. Dream's been printed out. You know, 3D printers, you can put in basically an aluminum block, and they will carve out the shape that you have designed in your CAD software, and it'll just make it all however you want it to be. But you know what? This will actually really never do anything until it has functionality. So whatever dream you have in your life, you might have already mocked up something and it might look good, but until there's functionality to it. And the only way to get functionality is through hard work. And I can't stress that enough. And I love this scripture. I know it's not quoted much, but James 2:4. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? And the answer to this is no. I love this scripture. Now, a lot of people, they take the scripture and they bring it back to the results of salvation. That's not what is being taught here. He's saying, can that kind of faith save anyone? Meaning that kind of faith that says, hey, you know what? I believe God can feed those needy children. Well, if you don't get out of your house and make an effort to feed those needy children, your faith can't save anyone. Your faith can't help anyone. So you can have faith, but if you don't have work, you have no functionality. Now here's the thing. I believe in Jesus. That's faith. But I get the functionality through reading his word. Christ functions in my life simply when I know more about him, and that applies work. This isn't like the Matrix where I can put in a disc and learn Kung Fu in 15 minutes. This stuff takes work. And I love this scripture because it's showing us that real faith applies to when you see something you want to do, you work after it and it comes to pass. And if you're not willing to work the dreams that God has put on the inside of you, then we really, honestly, must not really believe in the dreams to begin with. Faith and work, that's all it takes for a dream to become reality. And I met a lot of people that have a lot of faith. And I've met a lot of people that have a lot of work. But you got to have both moving together simultaneously in your life. And I challenge you to get busy on accomplishing your dreams. For if you don't accomplish them, this is the sad fact, there's going to be a void in this earth. You know, God put the dreams in your heart for a reason. And you know what? People are counting on us to work those dreams. And oftentimes, the enemy comes and tries to declare the insignificance of the dream. But there's great significance. And when you listen to the enemy, he acts like, really, if you do it, and let's say you do succeed, nothing's really going to change. Well, that's just a lie. That's a deception to get you to not even start. And I challenge you, whatever they are, begin to not just write them down, but apply functionality. You know, there's two ways to get things done. For instance, is there anybody in here that every day you use a to-do list? Raise your hand if you use a to-do list. Okay, some of you. Who in here does not use a to-do list? Raise your hand. Okay. Wow. That's kind of shocking. Well, I might go a little longer now. Hang on a second. If you'd known that, everybody would be like, we all use to-do list. Shut up. Okay. Like, you start off and you basically, Now, you guys, write this down. If you come to church and like you have nothing to write down with, you don't come, because like it's pointless. You need to be able to write stuff down or type it on your phone. It helps in gaining this. This is going to help you. Write down every single thing that is on your mind. Every single thing. And don't organize it or categorize it. Just everything. Do like a brain dump. Just get it all out of your brain. Everything that's there, that creativity, let me tell you, what kills creativity is the stuff that is stacked up in your head. Because you're always thinking about it. Just get them out of your head. After you get them out of your head, then you divide them into categories, okay? Very, very important. I can delegate this. I will do later. Junk. Okay? Now, I can take somebody's list of about 60 things. We can narrow it down probably 20% of it's going to be junk. It's just stuff you thought you needed to do, but not everything you think you need to do, you need to actually do. So we're gonna get into what the most important thing is. And what you have to do is, this is where functionality comes in. Functionality can only be accomplished through being systematic. And you have to get to the place to where you begin to write all these things down, but there needs to be actions. Okay? For instance, fix my car. This could be something small. This isn't even really like, dreams. But some of your dream is to fix your air conditioner in your car. And that's a great dream to have. But some people just say, go to the grocery store. Well, what do you need at the grocery store? 40% of people spend more money at the grocery store than they normally would, simply because they don't have a list. And they just get everything they think they need or they don't need. They don't even remember anything. If you have a list, you're more systematic. You don't waste as much stuff. So I have a list, and then I begin to not just say I'm going to the grocery store. These are the things I need. So if I can apply it to myself at Nexus to say, well, on May 5th, we're going to 3 services. That's great. I can write that down. But how do I apply functionality to that? And what I'm trying to teach you is, you can sit. Nothing's ever going to happen if you don't have a plan. Nothing's going to happen unless you have a plan. If you don't write stuff down, you're just going to be just as, I would say, just in the same place 10 years from now than you are right now. You got to get a plan. That is, if you want to do something that puts a dent in the world. Not saying everybody wants to do that, because not everybody wants to do that. But you got to begin to really think, hey, God has given me these dreams. And here's the thing. God, through the course of our life, has given us, I would say, 5,000 ideas on how to make more money. And you know what? Most people don't write one of those 5,000 ideas down. Well, that sounded like a good idea. Forget about it. And it's that forget about it. You write stuff down. And I often think, why does God keep speaking to us if we don't write stuff down? And I often have noticed that God speaks to me more when I'm ready to write down. God speaks to me more when I'm ready to just take notes on what he's going to say. Because if I'm not, he's going to be like, well, I'm just going to be wasting my time. So I write down things all the time. It's because I want to progress, and I want to be creative, and I want to apply functionality to my gifts and callings. And I think that's what it means to be a dreamer. Somebody that's willing to keep moving forward and dream things that haven't been accomplished or done. So I challenge you tonight to go before the Lord and say, God, I know these gifts and these abilities and these talents that you've given me. And I have these ideas that you've placed in my heart. Help me to put functionality and work to them. And begin to write them down. And I guarantee you, a month from now, you're going to see so much progression and growth simply by doing those practical things. The Bible, this isn't like anything new. The Bible says, hey, have a vision, make it plain, write it down. And that's what we need to do. And if you do that, I tell you, the world is going to be a different place when you leave. Amen? Bow your heads. Father God, we thank you tonight. That you have placed amazing dreams inside our heart. Amazing dreams inside our lives. And God, nothing would please you more than for us to begin to take those dreams, those desires, those ambitions, and place faith in them to get functionality out of them. And Father, I pray right now that God, your people that are in here, that God, they apply these. God, only if there's just maybe just a few. God, I would love to see everybody apply these and see their lives change. But God, they have to want and desire to see that change. And God, I thank you that God, for those in here that are going to begin to look at life different and want to see the dreams in their life come to pass. That God, you're going to begin to fulfill, just go beyond their expectation and go beyond their imagination. For everything that we can think of, you go greatly and exceedingly above all we ask or think. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.